is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come once again as your church, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And we can come to your very throne of grace because you are a God of mercy and compassion and love. Yes, indeed you are. You are the Lord God Almighty. But you are our loving Heavenly Father. And we thank you for giving us your Son. And we thank you, blessed Lord, for shedding your blood on the cross to make us yours. We thank you, Lord, for you are here right amidst us this morning. And we thank you for your very presence and your holy word that we can meditate on. So as we open the pages of your word, Lord, we pray that we would meet you beyond the sacred page, that we would experience your touch upon our lives, and that you would write your word upon our minds and our hearts. Transform us within, we pray. Speak, Lord, for we desire to listen and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord has laid on my heart to speak on the subject of spiritual warfare this morning. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to realize that we are constantly in a battle. And our failure to realize the fact that we are in a war against a formidable enemy, that is one of the reasons why many believers today live in defeat rather than in victory. Now, where did this enemy come from?
Okay, all right, thank you.
Where did this enemy come from? This spirit creature that seeks to oppose God and defeat His work, where did he come from? Many Bible students believe that in the original creation, he was Lucifer, son of the morning. And we read of this in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15. He was cast down because of his pride and his desire to occupy God's throne. Many mysteries are connected with the origin of Satan, but what he is doing and where he is going are certainly no mystery. He is a created being. He is not uncreated. He is not uncreated and eternal as God is. Satan is therefore limited in his knowledge. He is limited in his activity. Unlike God, Satan is not all-knowing. The theologians would call that omniscient. He is not all-powerful or omnipotent. And he is not everywhere present, omnipresent. He is not omnipotent, omnipresent. He is not omniscient. Then how does he accomplish so much in so many different parts of the world? The answer is in his organized helpers. The spirit world that he is in charge of. The principalities, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness. The spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Ephesians 6 verse 12. the verse that we read in the beginning. So, we have an enemy to fight against, and this battle against the enemy begins the moment we are born again, and it continues through the rest of our life on earth. And it is our responsibility, therefore, to be armed with God's armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11. And this armor is described in the remaining part of Ephesians chapter 6. And we are called to continually be clothed with this armor and to be diligently involved in warfare. We cannot afford to lay our armor down. And God has provided the whole armor. The whole armor for us is provided by God. And we dare not omit any part of this armor. Satan looks for the unguarded area where he can get a beachhead, where he can get a foothold. Therefore, we need to be very careful. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27. And give no opportunity to the devil. And give no opportunity to the devil. Now, we have been commissioned by God to win souls to Christ and to nurture them to be His disciples. And this process involves a battle, a continual battle against the evil one. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." You see, we can't fight this battle in our authority. We can only fight this battle in the delegated authority that God gives us, that Jesus gives us. And He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The enemy holds these souls that we are trying to win to Christ. Satan holds them in his control, and it is our job to enter into his territory and bind him, and thereby release these souls from his captivity. And this is our job. This is the commission that the Lord Jesus has given us. And this is what God has called us to do. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. We know that we are from God. We are from God. The believers who know Christ, we are from God. And the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So the Lord has chosen us, He has made us His, we are from Him, we go with His authority, and we know that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The Lord Jesus has destroyed the power of the evil one on the cross, and He now sends us out into the world to set these captives free from the enemy. And that's our job. That's the mandate that God has given us. The people of the world, they are held in captivity by sin and Satan. And it is our job to go and win them to Christ. To gather them into the harvest. To reap the harvest. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And we read earlier that the people of the world are under the sway, under the hold of the devil. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Our sins have been forgiven because we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed His blood for us on the cross. And our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Philippians chapter 4 verse 3, Revelation 21 verse 27. It is now, therefore, our responsibility to obey this great commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to reach the world for Christ. That is our responsibility. That is the mandate that we have been given. As believers in Christ, we have absolutely no right to relinquish this responsibility. Mark chapter 16 verses 15 to 20. And He said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Now, one day Jesus will come and he will come to establish his kingdom on earth. But for this to take place, we need to complete the job of reaching the nations for Christ. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole earth as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And then the end will come. So the faster we get the job done, the sooner will be his coming. Now, Satan holds these lost souls under his control to prevent them from turning to Christ. In fact, Satan has blinded their minds from the truth of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In spiritual warfare, God has given every believer in Christ the authority to bind these spirits of darkness and thereby release these people who are blinded so that they can perceive the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and be saved. That's the authority that he gives us. The Lord has given us this authority to do this. This is what he means when he says in Matthew chapter 16 verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So in the battle that we wage against Satan and his army of demons, God has given us authority to bind these satanic strongholds over people's lives and loose them from the grips of the evil one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 3 to 5. We are human, but we do not wage war. We don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Satan opposes the advance of the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul tells us that we do not fight against men, but our struggle is against rulers, authorities, powers, and spiritual forces of evil. So, we first need to recognize the real enemy. We first need to recognize the real enemy. Please don't get distracted. Please listen to that. I know it's one of the most difficult messages to preach is on spiritual warfare. It's a battle. And I know the battle is already there on your in your minds now. So please don't get distracted. Listen carefully. The Lord's word is very important for us to hear, to understand, to grasp, and to obey. So please, children, please settle down. Don't run around. Nobody get up and walk out. Please, this is a very, very important message. This is a message from the Lord. We need to understand this, grasp this, and obey. We don't wrestle against rulers, authorities, powers, and spiritual forces of evil. So we first need to recognize the real enemy. The real enemy is not the person whom you see physically arguing with you or even assaulting you physically. The real enemies are the unseen evil spirits who have held that person whom you see in captivity. So we need to know who we are fighting against. Every nation in physical war must know the strength of its enemies in order to attack, in order to attack accordingly. If we know the real enemy that we fight, if we are aware of his schemes, and if we are aware of his strategies, if we are aware of the method of warfare, then we can fight as we should. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Now, we know that as believers in Christ, our victory is absolutely secure. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our victory is absolutely secure. The army of Jesus Christ is the only army in the world that knows, even before they start fighting, that the battle has already been won. This battle against the enemy has been won by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus cried out the victory cry. John 19 verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." That's a victory cry. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So the devil is a defeated foe. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 14 and 15. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So on the cross, Jesus won the victory over the devil. Colossians chapter 2 verses 14 and 15. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. What else did God do? God transferred us, who believe in Jesus Christ, he has transferred us from the very domain of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Jesus Christ has redeemed us. Now that word redeemed means deliverance. He has delivered us from what? From the grip or the power of the evil one. From the clutches of the evil one. He has delivered us not only from the domain of the evil one, but also from the power and the grip of the evil one. We have been delivered. And he has forgiven us. The greatest need of man today is the need for forgiveness. And he has given us the gift of eternal life. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. In whom we have redemption. That's deliverance. The forgiveness of sins. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Redemption, forgiveness of sins, eternal life. So the enemy, the devil, is defeated. Satan is a defeated foe. But he hasn't conceded defeat. He's a defeated foe. He hasn't conceded defeat. The victory has been won by Christ on the cross, but the enemy still holds people in captivity because he doesn't concede defeat. So we as children of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are called to enter into enemy territory. And enemy territory is outside the Shammah Tabernacle. Alright. This is the church, the body of Christ. Enemy territory is outside. We are called to enter enemy territory and bind these forces of darkness and set the captives free. That's our job. We have the authority to do so because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 11 verses 20 to 22. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. The Christian life is therefore not a playground. It is a battlefield. It is not a playground. I've said this so many times. It is a battlefield. There is constant warfare with the enemy, and we are called to be vigilant, to be on guard, and to fight this battle continually. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Be sober minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So, we must be careful never to give the devil any advantages. Because he is like a prowling lion, looking for someone to devour. But Jesus Christ came to this world to undo all of his works, and he has ordered us to do the same. Go in my name. Go in my name. We need to know about the enemy and how the enemy operates. In the kingdom of darkness, there are hierarchies. According to God's word, Satan is the supreme ruler of his kingdom. Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 to 26. Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? So, Satan rules the army of darkness, and he travels throughout his kingdom, roaming throughout the earth, back and forth. Job chapter 1 verse 7. The Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it. The world is under his sway. In the Bible, Satan is called the prince of the world. John 12 verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Jesus broke the power of the devil by his death on the cross. John 12, same passage, John 12, verses 32 and 33. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So by the death that he died on the cross, he broke the power of the evil one, and he has given us, you and me, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the authority to go into enemy territory, to bind the forces of darkness, and to set the captives free in Jesus' name. This is the authority that he has endowed upon us. Satan is also called the god of this age. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan is called the great dragon. Revelation chapter 12 verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. He's also called the ancient serpent. Revelation chapter 20, verse 20. Sorry, Revelation 20 and verse 2. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So, god of this age, ancient serpent, the great dragon, devil, Satan, these are his names. His destiny is sealed to eternal hell. That's his destiny. That is his eternal destination. Revelation chapter 20 verse 10. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, coming back to Ephesians and Colossians, Ephesians 6 and Colossians 2, the Apostle Paul mentions principalities or rulers. In Ephesians chapter 6, principalities, rulers or powers. Colossians 2:15, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Ephesians 6 verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the dark, of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, in the dictionary, principate or principality means princely power, supreme rule. It is the highest authority and government in a monarchy. The prince or principality has power over a nation. And these principalities therefore rule nations. An angel, remember, spoke to Daniel and said in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. Now the words of the angel that he speaks about, notice the words of this angel. He speaks about the prince of the kingdom of Persia. The prince of the kingdom of Persia. Obviously, a very powerful evil spirit who was controlling the kingdom of Persia. So much so, in verse 13 it says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Michael is an archangel. For I was left there with the kings of Persia. So, this prince of the kingdom of Persia, a territorial demon, high up among the hierarchy of demons, what was his job? To control Persia. So you have here principalities, rulers. Then you have the word authorities. In Colossians 2:15, we read that verse. The word authority is there. According to the dictionary, this word authority means power to require and receive submission, the right to expect obedience, superiority derived from a status that carries with it the right to command and give final decisions. Satan has this right in his kingdom. And with his authority, he commands and directs all the activities and operations within his area of control. Then, Paul uses the word, the powers of this dark world. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. The powers of this dark world. Now, these are the next in the order of hierarchy. Paul mentions the powers of this dark world. There's a very wonderful translation by Charles B. Williams of this verse, which I'll read out to you. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. For our contest is not with human force alone, but with the rulers, authorities and cosmic powers of this dark world. That is, with the spirit forces of evil challenging us in the heavenly contest. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. So this suggests a definite army of demonic creatures that assist Satan in his attack against believers. And these evil spirit beings, they govern and they exercise authority, especially over an area or a group. And they influence the minds of rulers, chief executives, leaders, heads of political units, people in different positions of authority. Yes, of course, the Bible does tell us that people in authority in the government are sovereignly appointed by God. In Romans chapter 13 verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. This is true in the physical realm. But in the spiritual realm, there is a battle going on. A battle going on for the minds of these rulers and for those in positions of authority. And if they do not fear God, and if they do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as God, then they come under strong satanic influences. Look at Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. They were confronted by such a ruler, Nebuchadnezzar. He was the king of Babylon, pagan king. He had ordered that they worship the golden image he had set up or be thrown into the fiery furnace. And these three young Jews who were held in captivity in Babylon, they refused to worship the golden image. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Society today is filled with idolatry, immorality, violence, bloodshed, anarchy, rebellion. And sin prevails in today's society. That's why the Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 5 verse 19, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. All of this is because these hellish beings, these evil spirits, are like the officers in an army, and they are in charge of these operations. Ephesians 6 verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now this word forces there, again according to the dictionary, it is a group of individuals occupied with or ready for combat. They are also a body of persons available for or serving a particular end. This term is used to designate the henchmen who fight for a cause or who are sent to fight. Now, this doesn't include those at the top of the military hierarchy, principalities, authorities. No. These demons are part of these forces of Satan, who, according to the Bible, they have no physical bodies, but they are smart, evil spirits. They are very unhappy and they are very vicious. And the forces of Satan are his emissaries. They come in and they dominate men. They also dominate animals. Remember the man of Gadarenes in Mark chapter 5, verses 6 to 13. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. I believe that is because he is created in the image of God. In spite of all those demons who are holding him, deep down inside, he is a person created in the image of God. There was a desire inside of him to be free. So he comes, he ran and he fell down before him. And then the demon starts speaking. Verse 7, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. By the way, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the text in its original, in its meaning, that Jesus was continually speaking while he came in to that place of the Gadarenes where this man was. He was continually speaking, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. It was not just spoken once. He was continually speaking. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. You see, demons always desire to occupy flesh, a body, either men, people, or animals. So now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. So demons occupy, they seek to occupy, places, they seek to occupy people. Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this evil generation. Now, demons also impose physical diseases on people. We saw that in the case of Peter's mother-in-law in our first in our study of the Gospel of Mark. In the beginning, Luke chapter 4, I read to you the same passage in, recorded by Luke. Luke 4 verses 38 and 39. "And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve him," and began to serve them. Then again in Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 to 33. "As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke." You see that? When the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." Then we read of the miracle that took place in the synagogue. In Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 13. "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. And by the way, this woman was a devout, was a child of Abraham. She was a believer. So if you ask me, can believers be affected by such oppressive demonic spirits? Yes, they can. "And behold, there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, 'Woman, you are freed from your disability.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and she glorified God." Now what happened? He was accused by the synagogue ruler for healing on the Sabbath. Luke chapter 13 verse 14. "But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus was healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, 'There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day.'" Jesus replied. Look at Jesus' reply. Luke chapter 13, verses 15 to 16. "Then the Lord answered him, 'You hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman," now notice his words, "a daughter of Abraham," that's why I said she's a believer, "a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Apparently a believer, she was coming to the synagogue for worship. And she's been there 18 years bound like this. And the synagogue ruler had nothing to offer her. And when she was healed on the Sabbath, they accused him of healing on the Sabbath. So these demons torment people. They torment people, and they can produce mental illnesses, and they drive people to violence, they drive people to destruction, because the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his purpose. The man of Gadarenes, he was one such kind. Mark chapter 5 verses 3 to 5, he lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Satan has a very well organized army. And Jesus said that this army doesn't divide against itself. This army doesn't divide against itself. Satan's army. Luke chapter 11 verse 18. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? So we have seen the kingdom of darkness has its hierarchies, and its forces come together to do evil. They are one. They are together to do evil. So we as Christians, as believers in Christ, if you are going to fight this enemy, we need to be united to fight. We need to be united to fight. We can't fight the enemy unless we are united. We cannot afford to be disunited. We cannot afford to be disunited. There must be no disharmony among us if we are to fight the devil. We have to become one under the power of God, so that we can confront and overcome the forces of the evil one. Now, in his prayer to the Father, Jesus prayed for the unity of all Christians, believers. This was his high priestly prayer. John 17 verses 20 and 21. I do not ask for these only. That means not just for those disciples who were there. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and me. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So, brothers and sisters, we have to be united. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 3. That is the need of the hour in the church today. That is the absolute need of the hour in the church today. Otherwise, you can fight no battle against the enemy. Not possible. Not possible. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 3. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this should be the heart's desire of every believer. The bond of peace. Maintain the spirit of unity. That means the spirit of unity is already there, because he is the Holy Spirit. He has come to dwell in us. But if we do not be diligent, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, what will happen? We will be fighting with each other, and the devil is having a great time. He's looking at us and saying, these are the fellows who come to fight against me. That's how he speaks. He looks at the church today, and that's what he does. You can't battle the enemy unless and until you are united. Not possible. So we have to be one in the Lord. Then we can exercise the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of this world to tempt him, he took him to a high place. That's what Satan did. He took Jesus to a high place. In Luke chapter 4 verses 5 to 7 we read, and the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, by the way, Jesus fought the devil as man, not as God. But he fought the devil as man under the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Now notice, Jesus doesn't argue with Satan regarding the authority that Satan has. Jesus doesn't argue with Satan. Satan says, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom, and I give it to whom I will. The world's greatest violinist at one point of time sold his soul to the devil. The devil will give you what you want if you ask him. But in the process, he'll take your soul. He'll take your soul. To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I'll give it to whom I will. All that Satan wanted was worship. If you then will worship me, it'll all be yours. Who's talking to whom? The creature is talking to the creator. How did he have this boldness to speak to the creator? Because you see, Jesus fought the enemy not as God, but as man. And he had to overcome the enemy as man, so that you and I could have the power to overcome the enemy as men and women of God. All that he wanted was worship. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus does not argue with Satan about what he said. Jesus just looked at what was offered to him and answered with the words from the scriptures in Luke chapter 4 verse 8. And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Now Satan said that the kingdoms had been given to him. You see that? "For it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will." Luke 4 verse 6. Now the question is, who delivered these kingdoms to Satan? Who gave these kingdoms to Satan? Was it God? No way. Absolutely no way. Satan received the kingdoms, but not from God's hands. So then from where? From whose hands did he receive them? Let's read Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. Genesis 1:28, and let's examine the blessing that God gave to man when he gave him the authority to rule over and subdue the earth. This was the mandate given to our first parents, Adam and Eve. Genesis 1 verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now this word subdue is the translation of the Hebrew word kobash. Kobash, it means rule. Now we know that the word ruler means one that exercises authority, command, or dominant influence. And when God told man to subdue or rule over the earth, he also meant that everything belonged to him. It was given to man. It was given to man. God's original plan was that the whole earth should be populated by those who know him and who serve him as wise regents, as co-heirs of God. Now, this rule does not mean, this word rule here, in the original meaning, in the original sense, it does not mean a mandate to exploit the earth and its creatures. It's not a mandate to exploit the earth and its creatures to satisfy human greed. No. That was the result of the fall. This word rule in Genesis 1 verse 28, it implies that human beings will use the earth wisely, govern it wisely with the same responsibility and care that God has towards this whole creation. So Adam and Eve were given this mandate. And Adam was the crown of all creation. But when he disobeyed God, what happened? The devil, who was roaming around the earth looking for someone to devour, took away his authority and his right to possess and subdue the earth. Adam, by sinning, gave Satan his authority. That's how Satan got authority over the earth, over the people of this world. So it was not God who gave the devil this authority. The devil usurped this authority from man by deceit. And this helps us to understand how the devil got this authority over man and this world. The devil does have power, he does have authority, but today he is a defeated foe. Now let me ask you a simple question. Where did he get all this authority? Where did he get this power from? He was a created being, fallen angel, Lucifer, alright? So he fell, right, when he wanted to become like God. What happened to that power? That power still remained. But something happened to that power. It became corrupt. It became evil. So that's how you have evil forces of wickedness. Evil spirit beings that are evil, controlling minds of people. So the devil has power, he has authority, but today he is a defeated foe. The Lord Jesus Christ crushed the head of the serpent on the cross. The power of Satan to control man is now broken. All that people need to do is to believe the good news that Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save the lost. Luke chapter 19 verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The penalty of sin has been paid and the power of the devil over our lives has been shattered. And so we as believers in Christ, we are here to fight against the devil and take from the devil all the souls that he is holding in his clutches. That's our job. And that's mandatory. Every believer is commanded to do so. We have to take them in the name of Jesus, or Satan will not let them go. We have been given the authority to take those souls in the name of Jesus. And we must do so. If we don't do so, Satan won't let them go. This is spiritual warfare. I hope you're getting this. I hope you're understanding this. You understand this truth. You will not sit quiet. You will not sit quiet. If you know and recognize the authority that God has given you, you will not sit quiet. This is spiritual warfare. Man lost his power and authority over the earth, but Jesus paid the debt. And when Jesus was resurrected, he cancelled the mortgage, and now he has the right to demand possession of the earth. In the book of Revelation chapter 5 verse 5, there's a beautiful verse that describes this. Revelation chapter 5 verse 5. This is in heaven. Worship is going on. And one of the elders said to me, that's to John, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. What is that scroll? That scroll is the title deed of Christ. It is the title deed to all that the Father promised him because of his sacrifice on the cross. Remember Psalm 2 and verse 8. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. So Jesus Christ, he is the heir of all things. And you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are co-heirs with him. That's our position. That's our authority. We are co-heirs with Christ. Jesus is the heir of all things. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He was willing to give his life to set us free from bondage and to restore our lost inheritance. Praise the Lord. Please sing that song once again, the first song you sang. I didn't know that you were going to sing any of those songs. And I never knew that you were going to sing on the theme of spiritual warfare this morning. I had no clue at all. It is on Thursday night that the Lord impressed on my heart, speak about spiritual warfare. I was going to continue in the book of Mark. And I had no idea what you were going to sing. He gave his life to set us free from bondage and to restore our lost inheritance, which we handed to Satan because of our sin. And how did he do that? Not by falling down before Satan and worshipping him. If you would worship me, I'll give it to you. No, I'll take it from you once and for all. I'll shed my blood on the cross and I'll finish that work. You'll have no hold over my children. That's what he did on the cross. Today, we as believers in Christ, we are heirs of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So as heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, he has given us authority. All authority in heaven on earth, heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age. So that authority which he has delegated to us enables us to say to the devil, devil, let go of that which is not yours. That's warfare. That's warfare. And you have that authority to tell the devil, let go of that which is not yours. When I pray for souls, I plead for a soul that I'm burdened about, and I pray, I say, Lord Jesus, I'm praying petition prayer to the Lord Jesus. I'm saying, Lord, I pray that the efficacy of your blood which is shed on the cross would be so applied upon this person's life that every legal right that the enemy has over his or her life would be broken, cancelled, annulled, and revoked. And I'm on my knees when I'm praying petition prayers, and I get up and then I speak to the devil. And I tell the devil, get out of this person's life. You have no right over this person's life. This is a child of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let go of that which is not yours, in Jesus' name. And that's how you pray. And when you pray for souls in that way, you will find, one by one, they come to Christ. They come to Christ. Devil, let go of that which is not yours. We take it away from him in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's what we are called to do. Church, please get around to doing this. That's our job. That's our mandate. Yes, we may be called to suffer for the sake of the gospel. When I was being beaten up in Jamshedpur, my dad canceled all the operations and he came to see me. And before he left, he told me one thing. I won't forget that. He told me one thing. He said, Mane, all that they can do is take your life. That's all they can do. All they can do is take your life. They can't touch your soul. That I know. All they can do is take your body, kill you. That's all. And they could have done it. Many times they could have done it. God protected me. But I know they can't touch your soul. So, in the process of proclaiming this glorious gospel, some of us may be even martyred. The signs of the times show, indicate that that can happen. Just like what happened to Stephen. Satan is usurping the earth. But we have the power to take things away from him with the authority that comes from God. Can we fight against the forces of evil with natural weapons, machine guns, atomic bombs? No, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But we wrestle against powers, principalities. We have something far more powerful. We have the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God. And that is more valuable than all the nuclear bombs put together. So please seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness and do his work. He'll take care of the rest. How should we fight? That's a question. How should we fight? And please listen carefully. Just as Daniel did, to whom the angel of God said in Daniel chapter 10 verse 12, then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. I have come because of your words. You set your heart to understand. You see, Daniel was praying with understanding because he realized who his enemy was. But still, the resistance of the prince of Persia lasted 21 days because of the opposition of the evil principalities. There was that resistance, strong resistance. The resistance of the prince of Persia. So Michael had to come. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the authority to tell Satan to let go. Let go of this city. Let go of this nation in Jesus' name. That's how South Korea was won to Christ. That's how China is being won to Christ. But it involves you and I being on our knees, crying out to God. I remember the Koreans on the ship, they pray all night. They have 8 hours of work every day. But practically all night they'll be praying. They have no problem in prayer. Absolutely no problem praying. When you do so, you'll experience the presence of God and the power of God. Let go of this city. Let go of this nation in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can command Satan to leave, to let go of all who are under his control. But our problem, I'll tell you what our problem is. Our problem is that we don't even know that we need to do this. Number one. Number two, we do not exercise this authority even if we know. We don't exercise this authority that we have. Or we sometimes demand something for 2 or 3 days and then we stop. That's our problem. That's our problem. We have to snatch out of the devil's hands all that he took away from us. So we need to be firm. We need to be consistent in our prayers. And we humbly pray our petition prayers to God our Father through Jesus Christ. And then we declare command prayers to Satan in Jesus' name. But we need to do this consistently, persistently. Then what will happen? We will see victory. We will see victory in reaching our cities and our country for Jesus. Think about all the battles that are being fought to release answers to prayers. If Satan has taken away, now listen carefully. If Satan has taken away your son or your daughter, and if he or she is now lost in the world, tell Satan this. Listen to me, Satan. In the name of Jesus, let him go. Let her go. I command you to let him go in the name of Jesus. I command you to let her go in the name of Jesus. Continue to pray and testify with your life until the devil lets him go. He will let him go. He will let her go because he has no authority when you command him to flee in Jesus' name. So our struggle is against evil forces, powers, authorities, not against men. The important point is that our battle is not against human beings. That's our biggest problem. We don't understand that. Our problem is that we think we are fighting a person. It is not a person. It is against spiritual powers. We are wasting our time fighting people. So you know what happens? We end up with arguments over people. And they sometimes even win arguments. And we call it apologetics. And in the process we lose the person. You might win the argument. We are wasting our time fighting people when we ought to be fighting the devil who seeks to control people and make them oppose the work of God. During Paul's ministry in Ephesus, a riot took place that could have destroyed the church. But it didn't happen. Acts chapter 19 verses 21 to 41. It was not caused only by Demetrius. You remember Demetrius? The silversmith. And his associates. Demetrius was a silversmith who made idols. Behind Demetrius and his associates were Satan and his associates. Certainly Paul and the church prayed and the opposition was silenced. Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers. When the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. So, what can we do? We will get on our knees. We will get on our knees and pray to the Father, and then we will rise up and say to Satan, listen to me, Satan, spirit of unbelief, let go of the minds you have taken in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Let go of those minds that you have taken in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I command you, flee. Now this is the most effective thing that we can do, and this we must do. What matters is the work of the Holy Spirit in people. It is not with the arguments of words or of human wisdom or reasoning that will bring a soul to the Lord. When the church in the name of Jesus Christ snatches out of the devil's hands what he has taken away, then as soon as the evil spirit leaves, this is why command prayers are so important, because the evil spirit will leave. And then people will be able to understand the light of the gospel. This light will shine in their lives. If we practice this method, what will happen? I believe thousands of souls will come to the Lord. And I believe our nation will be one for Jesus Christ. I told you many of the reasons why it's not happening today. Jesus said in John chapter 10 verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." He said in Matthew chapter 16 verse 18, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Before we pray, I'll just ask the choir to sing that song once again, please. The first song. And we all stand up together and sing. Show your power, Lord. Show your power.